Linda presents this unabridged recording of The Fever of the World, Merrily Watkins, Book 15, written by Phil Rickman and read by Emma Powell. The sky had grown darker. Small lights had begun bobbing below the forestry, and a chainsaw's whine fell away into the evening wind. David Vayner didn't like any of it, though the Home Office pathologist with him didn't appear particularly fazed, contemplating the newly dead man in the beam of his lamp and nodding.
"I've seen this, I think, twice before. There's a name for it, though I can't remember for the moment what it is."
He moved closer, flashlight shining brutally into the lifeless face and the dark silver hair.
"Stone dead after falling, what, 40 metres? 200? Who knows?"
Behind him, avoiding the light and the face, Vayner smothered a shudder. Working detectives were supposed to have left shuddering far behind.
"But it's him all right," Dr. Billy Grace said. "Peter Portis. You can certainly confirm that to Bliss."
Billy's face, with its lavish white moustache, was lit up by Vayner's own lamplight. He raised both hands and gazed up as if waiting to receive something substantial from a crane.
"Ending up on one's feet, supported only by bushes, is not, as might be thought, any kind of aid to survival." He lowered his arms. "When someone comes down with some velocity, like this chap, the upper vertebrae may pass quite neatly through a ring fracture of the occipital bone, you see?"
Vayner forced himself to move closer. He'd need to tell D.I. Bliss he'd viewed the damage, but couldn't remember where the occipital bone was. Then, avoiding the dead man's open eyes, he somehow knew.
"Oh, God.
He turned away again, coughed. "The stick getting pushed through the lollipop?" Billy Grace turned and beamed at him.
"The lolly and the stick, oh, yes indeed."
Billy's mouth was a lavish gash under the moustache he'd probably first grown in the army more than 20 years earlier.
"Perhaps put that in my report for the coroner. He'll pretend to the police he thought of it himself, but that's a coroner's prerogative."
"You said Portis," Vayner said. "This is Portis, the estate agent?"
"And the region's leading rock climber, and now I'm afraid, ex-rock climber."
In a fatal fall, Vayner was thinking, from a rock where climbing was no longer permitted, unsafe, unstable, in all kinds of ways. He was climbing alone?
"Nothing to immediately indicate he wasn't," Billy Grace said. "Though I expect that's why you're here. We'll be checking for signs of struggle, of course."
"I think the DI is just covering his back in case it turns out to be more sinister," Vayner said. "I can probably think of a few people who'd like to help an estate agent off a cliff, but..." Billy Grace might have smiled. Over his plastic protective suit, he wore a plaid jacket so conspicuously dated that he'd probably bought it from a rack labelled Windjammers. But even up here, there was very little wind, and the dusk was folding the surrounding hills into a luminous mid-March night. Spring, then. But nobody was in the mood for spring this year, Vayner thought, thanks to the virus, which seemed to be rampaging everywhere.